Hi, I'm Bede Hill, and this is The D Word, the show where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another edition of The D Word here on UK Health Radio. First of all, an apology if you're expecting to hear my chat with Alzheimer's Society Chief Executive Kate Lee this week. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, Kate was unable to join me, but we have arranged our chat, which will be on the show in a couple of weeks' time. So this week on the show, we're going to be talking about caregiving with my guest, Lisa Levin, a care consultant who is now based in the beautiful city of San Diego. Lisa will be joining me right after something new from Silverado. Once Mike and the Moonbyes, now called Silverado. Music still sounds good though, and that was anywhere but here. I've often called caregivers the forgotten army, who give so much and save governments so much money, but are generally taken for granted. Plenty to talk about then with my guest this week, care consultant Lisa Levin. Well, Lisa, it's great to have you as my guest, and welcome to the D Word. I think where I will start is in terms of, we are a dementia show, that's what we're going to be talking about. I mean, do you have a personal link to dementia as a subject?
Yes. Hi, Pete. I just want to thank you for allowing me to come on your show, and it's a pleasure meeting you today. And I am very excited to talk about dementia care, as I spent the last 2 years working as a dementia care consultant for a nonprofit in North Carolina, speaking with caregivers and care receivers who have had the care receiver having a dementia diagnosis. So it's something very close to my heart, and I'm looking forward to talking about that more with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a fascinating subject. We've done over 220 editions of the show now. I mean, when you were involved there talking to caregivers and people living with dementia, how much experience did you have when you were fulfilling that role?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was daily discussions with caregivers, you know, going through different phases of dementia and different symptoms. Every interaction was different than another. You know, they say when you've seen one case of dementia, you truly have seen one case of dementia. It's hard to compare one to another, right? So in many cases, when you're speaking with someone who is caring for a loved one that has a dementia diagnosis or is dealing with some kind of impact from that, it's really important to see what their specific concerns are and try to tailor their needs around that, because it's not cookie cutter. And, you know, with other diagnoses, you hear, well, this is the issue. We'll give you this as a resolution to the problem or a medication. This is very different, as you probably know, and doing your different sessions in your podcast. You've heard this from other professionals, I'm sure, which can create a challenge, because you're constantly thinking, well, what is the best way to approach this subject or this concern that's really going to benefit this caregiver? Right? Because we're dealing with some very intricate issues and things that, quite frankly, we don't always know or have an answer to. We're just trying to figure out what's best for them and what's going to alleviate some of their pain, frustration, or concern, and also support the care receiver at the end of the day.
Did you come across people, you know, who were caregivers, and you asked them, what do you need? And probably they might come back to you and say, well, I don't really know. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yes, in so many instances you would have that, especially in cases where they were dealing with a lot of exhaustion and they were overwhelmed and they had so many things that they were trying to tackle. Like, for instance, if they were working or they were caregiving for multiple people, you know, they say some people are in what is called a sandwich generation, right? And that's growing, where you're also a parent, right? You're caring for a child, but you're also caring for maybe your elderly parent or someone older, an aunt. And oftentimes that can lead to, I have no idea where to go or what to do or what kind of help do I need? Can you tell me? You know, I've had caregivers say, I have no direction right now. I'm exhausted. And so from that situation, I try to break it down, because when you're overwhelmed, it's very hard to, you're scrambled in your mind. Like, where do I start? Well, let's just sit down and kind of slow things down. Number one, listen to what their concerns are and find out what are the immediate issues or immediate concerns that are really making things difficult. Is it that they maybe just need a break? They need some respite that will allow for them to have some quiet time to kind of look at, what do I need help with? What do I actually need help with? And sometimes that alone can be very helpful, just to have a break, even if it's just to go away for a day or to rest, you know, to be able to go on maybe a day trip, you know, that can be and can allow for that caregiver to just to have a mental break, because having a mental break can be so beneficial, even if it's for a short term, because it, in my opinion, it can kind of switch things and they can see things from a different perspective when they can step out of that situation. Right. So it's really listening to what are the issues, breaking them down and allowing for them to talk. And in a lot of cases, just being able to talk through what their concerns are, they feel better. Like, these are the things that are going on. And quite often they don't have anybody to talk to. So what does that lead to? Well, you're overwhelmed because your mind is just going over and over and over again into what you're dealing with. And you don't really have anyone to talk to because oftentimes we know caregivers can be isolated.
When you were doing that, did people come to you? How did they find out first? What was the first step to knowing there was some help available there?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So where I worked for a nonprofit, it was set up in basically a dementia care study. And so they were already recruited and brought in that way. So it was already established their interest in wanting to get help. And from there, it was just moving things forward and discussing, step by step, what are your needs, and going through the process of, everything that was required in the study. So it was pretty, seamless in that way, and that whoever came already knew, what it was designed for. And essentially they were reaching out, mutually to say, yes, I'm interested in getting, services through this program.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active, super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
After work, there's no hurry to get home these days. So I stop for a drink in a dimly lit place. I tore up a napkin over a warm glass of rye. And when I looked up, I got caught in his eyes.
Amanda Fields and Two Step In here on The D Word. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to Derek Brown on the show. Derek is currently attempting to provide information on free services available throughout the UK to people living with dementia and their carers. Derek's information leaflet should now have landed at your local GP surgery here in the UK. So if you do a visit, ask if they are available. Lots of great information for you. My guest this week is care consultant Lisa Levin. And am I right in thinking that was the D-Care study?
D-Care study. And there's it's not a published study yet, but everything that I'm discussing today is on their website. You can just look up D-Care study, and you can see that it goes through, you know, how many participants, site, where the sites were, what services were provided or would be provided. So if anyone is interested in kind of getting some more background information on that, it's in the public arena online.
Yeah, we'll certainly pull that out on social media. I think I looked at it earlier. It was 2,150 participants in the program. It was quite an interesting program because it offered these three things, didn't it? In enhanced care, community-based care, and health system-based care. And you could kind of, it seemed to me, pick which one would be the best one for you. Looking at that, they kind of varied because some were a personal face-to-face approach, some was relying on a telephone, some was relying on online, and there was a kind of complete mixture of things there. And yeah. I guess when you're looking at caregivers, you do need that mixture because, you know, as you quite rightly said earlier on the conversation, you met one person, well, you've met one person and everybody is different.
Yeah, so it's most certainly the case. You know, every situation is a little bit different than the other one, right? And it's, for me as a care consultant, it comes down to looking at each individual's circumstance and situation and seeing what their needs are and tailoring it to be able to be the best, you know, resource to them. And whether, like I said, respite, whether it was Meals on Wheels or if they needed a support group, you know, seeing what is available based on what their needs are and connecting them is so important. It's important for every caregiver to feel like they can have access to resources. Like I mentioned, so many cases, you know, that we see in general, just in society, these caregivers are at home, you know, and they can't always leave. They can't always go to the grocery store. So to be able to have something that's virtual is so important, whether it's a phone call, an email, something that will allow for them to have the flexibility to get assistance outside. In my opinion, outside of coming into an office is really important because just a phone call alone can really change a caregiver's life and perspective on things so they don't feel so alone.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I think one of them offered kind of check-in calls because I think sometimes care is available, but it's just that, as you've been saying, just that check-in phone call and the, you know, hey, how you doing? Is everything all right? Type call. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can change somebody's perspective in just that moment to see that somebody actually really does care and wants to know. Because oftentimes we're taught in this society, unfortunately, that, oh, well, no one wants to hear my problems or that, you know, other people have their own issues. I don't want to burden anyone with mine. And part of that is teaching them that, no, there are people out there that really do care about you and exploring that and saying, who do you have around you that's in your support system, you know, and talking about that further. And in many cases, we find someone that they can bring in, whether it's someone from another local organization that they might know of, in some cases, church, in tapping into that, or if they're participating in some activity or want to participate in some activity, being able to meet people that they can bring in to their care team is really important. And changing that mindset to say, again, there are people out there that really do care, you know, that would want to help and that you're not a burden, you know, and finding that group of people and building that around them is so important because at some point, you know, care consultation will go away, right? It'll end, or wherever you're working with, you know, whether it's another organization, being able to have some longevity in that is key because you don't want them to fail. You don't want to give tools and then they go away and then they revert back to some things that aren't very healthy or that can be quite concerning for them or again, overwhelming, right? Or not going back to, I don't know what to do. I don't really know what I need. So if there can be some consistency in services and longevity, I think that's really important. But in terms of services that are available, I think we have a lot more work to do as a society. And I'm sure you even would agree with that. In the UK, there needs to be a lot more available to these caregivers and care receivers in the long run, that whether it's especially with like long-term care options and help in the home, because we always, you know, we look at like skilled nursing facilities. Well, that brings up a whole nother host of things to think about, especially on the financial end. How are we going to pay for it? And how long can we pay for it? And is it better for them to stay in the home? And again, each situation is different. But I think we just have so much more we can do And hopefully there'll be more funding and more focus on how that looks down the road for these people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 100% agree, because I think the situation is also sometimes that people don't actually realise they are carers or caregivers, because someone sees it as a natural part of looking after their spouse or looking after their family member. I know we've got a charity here in the UK called Dementia Carers Count, who did a survey quite recently. And one of their things was actually getting to people and saying, well, actually, hey, you are a caregiver, because people just didn't realize.
Right, sure. Especially with generations, for example, like in the South, like where I was raised in North Carolina, it's very normal to see multi-generational families, you know, growing up in the same home where the mom raises the kids and then stays with one of the kids. But they don't really attach that definition to that, you know, or understand it quite fully. Well, that's just what we've always done. We've always taken care of our elders. And so when you can put some defining pieces to that, hopefully, in my viewpoint, it'll allow for them to see, well, I really am taking on this or that. And, you know, maybe I do need some help. But it's, yes, generationally, it is quite normal for what I'm doing. But it's okay to ask for help because I'm a caregiver. Wow, this is like a little bit mind blowing. To look at it from that perspective, I think it is very helpful to put a name to it, right?
Driving south on Rancho 12 again, driving long into the night. I don't think I'll make my rent on time. I'd hate to prove my landlord right. 20 miles from Highway 35, Lord, I'm Corpus Christi bound. Couple beers and I'll call Valerie. She might wanna know I'm back in town. See, I'm trying to take it easy, but this old world don't seem to wanna let me. Feels like something's always out to get me, but it ain't got me yet. To hitchhike up to Dallas, thumb my way to El Paso. Now I drive these 18 wheels and load anywhere the boss tells me to go. What he don't know ain't gonna kill him. See, I found some work out on the side. There's times in life you gotta gamble. This time I'm gonna let it ride. See, I'm trying to take it easy, but this old world don't seem to wanna let me. Feels like something's always out to get me, but it ain't got me yet. Stick my toes right in the sand. Cold beer will wash away the trouble. I can't escape while I'm dry land. See, I'm trying to take it easy, but this damn world don't seem to want to let me. Feels like something's always out to get me. Yeah.
Brother Brothers and Rondro 12. Always good to hear from you here on the show. As TDW Radio, we're on all the usual social media channels, Facebook, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. Or you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn, or of course by email to tdwradio@gmail.com. This week I'm talking caregiving with my guest, Lisa Levin. Yeah, you know, absolutely. I looked up some statistics before talking to you. 2021, there are evidently 647 million carers worldwide, which was an amazing, amazing figure. And they are all doing something for nothing. And they are helping the world's economy to an incredible amount of money, a mind-blowing amount of money, really, if you look at it. Mm-hmm.
That is quite astonishing. Looking at it from that vantage point and understanding the impact it can have on them economically and on the world is very important. And it's key to, you know, looking at the future and saying, well, what can we do to better support these caregivers? Because they're having to take quite a bit on and they need more support. And this is why, and it can benefit all of us in society if we do look at providing more care and support to them, especially in the workplace. That's one thing that has been on my mind recently is how can businesses and corporations, especially large corporations that have, you know, have money to add into their employees or to benefit employees, better support caregivers who are still working. Right? Are there programs that they can, you know, bring in, a professional that they can bring in and can consult with, right? To say, we want our employees that are caregivers to know that they're fully supported, because we all know that a happy employee is someone's going to be more productive, right? And we all have issues and problems in life. And when we're dealing with caregiving, you know, oftentimes in the workplace, we're embarrassed or we're worried we might lose our job if we talk too much about what we're dealing with at home. And so I think when we pull the curtain away and we take away that stigma and we provide more support to employees in the corporate world and in other facets of the world, nonprofit, whatever position you're in, then you're going to see employees want to stay and want to work harder. So that's my hope, is that we will see more of a discussion and we will see more of a focus, because we know that the aging population is only growing, right? And so if we can solve some of these concerns and stressors in the workplace, then I think at the end of the day, everyone will benefit.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really relevant point. And I do wonder in terms of in the workplace that in a certain respect, you talked about the sandwich generation, people's mm-hmm. childcare responsibilities are perhaps taken a lot more seriously than their responsibilities in caring for elder parents or their elders, which kind of seems a bit strange. And I wonder if, you know, we put as much into childcare as we do at the other end of the age scale, whether things wouldn't be better as well.
Yeah, I certainly think we haven't and we don't put enough focus on that, that it has, you know, historically become more of a discussion on, hey, you know, I have a child that's in daycare and, you know, getting in some corporations, they get daycare assistance, and some corporations even have daycares on site. So, you know, talking about, you know, the other aspect of having a, you know, an older family member that we're caring for, whether it's a parent, you know, mother, dad, aunt, uncle, why not considering some kind of a center on site where they're working, you know, like thinking outside of the box where they can go down and interact with their loved one and then go back to work, because at the end of the day for them, they probably are spending even less time worried, focused on what's going on outside of work. And they have a lot more peace of mind knowing that their loved one is safe in a healthy, safe environment and is not alone. So I'm sure that some people that hear this are probably like, that's a little bit mind-blowing. I've never thought of that in a workplace. Like, you hear of these large companies having a daycare center on site. Well, why not have something set up for, you know, aging parents? It's not out of the question. You know, it's something that could bring in some, you know, employees, you know, into companies that have talents that haven't been tapped into, because they say, oh, look at this company. They value families and family life, and I have a lot to bring to the table. It's interesting to think about.
Yeah, you know, before you and I talked about it, Lisa, even I hadn't thought about it. So I think it's, you know, it's something certainly worth pursuing. I mean, in terms of the US, I've got a little idea about what happens here in the UK. But one thing that kind of concerns me is that in terms of information, when you're a caregiver, you know, you're 100% concentrated on what you want to do. And when people try and give you information, it can be sometimes totally overwhelming. Because if, you know, you put something into Google or wherever and you're just deluged with stuff, whereas surely there must be a better way to get people simply the information that they need.
Yes, no, that's something that I've heard before, you know, working with caregivers. It's like, where do I start? There's so much information and everyone online has an opinion, right? Some even say, well, I'm an expert. Well, I'm of the mindset that no one is an expert at dementia care. There's so much more to learn, and there's so much that we don't know yet, right? That we're trying to figure out from a research standpoint, from a social work standpoint, from many different viewpoints. So saying, oh, go to this particular, you know, research piece or that, you know, you have to find what works for you, right? But just simply sometimes going online, it can be so overwhelming because you can be bombarded with so much information. So my thought on that is finding what works for you, you know, based on your particular situation and breaking it down into pieces, right? Really thinking about, well, what are your major concerns? You know, maybe what are your top two major concerns right at that moment, rather than getting online and just doing a Google search, because any one of us, when we're looking up something, right, whether it's a doctor, like a specialist, we go online and we start looking through the different names and the reviews and we go, oh my gosh, I'm completely overwhelmed. You know, my opinion on it is take it piece by piece, right? And use what you feel is best, right? And from a reputable source, because there's many people out there, you know, and many different resources, but it's really diving in and finding the right options for yourself.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm watching you as you're walking out of sight. Walking to a girl who lives down on my street. I'm wondering, my sweetheart, that it isn't me. I'm all alone,
all alone
in my house, my home. I'm just wondering,
why
haven't you loved me?
Sierra Ferrell and Why Haven't You Loved Me Yet here on UK Health Radio, where we have over 40 weekly shows covering every aspect of health. All the shows are available on the website at ukhealthradio.com and in podcast format. My guest on the show this week is Lisa Levin. And I guess that, you know, that's where, I don't quite know what the word would be, but, you know, a dedicated social worker, a dedicated link person, whatever you want to call it in terms of a job, back to the health community would be a great thing. But again, that seems to be piecemeal here in the UK. You get some GP surgeries who are brilliant and others. You know, I've heard tell of people being given a dementia diagnosis and doctor has said, bring them back when they go and dress themselves, which is horrendous. You know, an absolute message of no hope to people.
Difficult in that circumstance. You know, I would say where I was working in North Carolina, each county had, some sort of program. Most counties, unless they were really rural, would have some type of senior service program. And in some cases, within that, usually you would have, like a support group or someone that you could at least call in, like a helpline, and say, these are the things that have come up. And this is what I'm needing help with, and then be able to get some, you know, whether it's a, you know, referral or, you know, basic information. And that could be the first step for someone to just call into that senior line or helpline, whatever it might be called in that county, and find some resources and start there. But again, it's what is your individual situation? What are you needing? What are you looking for? But yeah, like here, knowing, you know, from the North Carolina perspective, what's offered, I'm not sure what it's like in every state, if that's similar. I would imagine if it's not by county, it could be by region in some states in the U.S. where they could look for their local, like, senior services program and at least get some kind of direction on where to start. Yeah,
which is, you know, very important. I guess the other thing is, I think you alluded to it earlier when we were talking, is that caregivers are remarkably talented people. Because they are people who can multitask to the ultimate degree, aren't they, in what they're doing. You know, maybe they need kind of bigging up a little bit to say how much they really do achieve.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. You know, I often, in hearing their stories, think, man, you have some serious superpowers, right? Especially if you're caring for your child as a parent, and then you're taking care of your mom or your dad with a dementia diagnosis, and you're trying to, you know, carry on with a full-time job and manage all the things in your house, maybe in their house. It's quite a bit. So, you know, and then looking at what they're doing in their job and the talents that they bring to the table. Yes, most definitely. You know, I always tell caregivers how good a job they're doing, and look at everything that they've accomplished, right? Because oftentimes we find ourselves in the negativity of things, like, I'm really stressed about this thing and that. And of course, validate that, but also validate, you know, the positives. You know, look where you were, especially when you're carrying on in their journey with them over a course of time, reminding them of, you know, where they were and where they are now, and saying, you know what, you're doing so well, and you know, look at all the things that you've accomplished, or you know, finding the good in things can oftentimes help that caregiver kind of take a step back and say, you know, yeah, I really am rocking this out. You know, I'm doing a good job. And because I'm sure you've heard from caregivers say, you know, I'm really not doing well at this. I'm struggling. I'm not getting to where I want to be with, you know, this or that. And oftentimes it's just reminding them of the bigger, small things, you know, where they come from or where and where they are. That's important.
I guess no matter how good or however well you feel you've achieved in that journey, there does come a time when your loved one would be better off in a residential, a care accommodation. And I guess that's the time that your caregiver really needs support in the making the right decision at the right time.
Oh, for sure. You know, and as those, you know, times come up, the one thing that's important to keep in mind and know, you know, it's very common, is the guilt, you know, that they feel, and helping them process through that and supporting them through their journey and just letting them know that it's quite normal to feel that way, right? It's a process, and that they've done everything that they could do, right? They've been the best caregiver that they could be, you know, and you know, just educating them on, you know, what we commonly see, and validating their feelings and their concerns, especially around the guilt and grief, because they do experience grief. Grief isn't just, you know, I find this interesting when I do talk to some caregivers and educating them on that grief isn't just about death. It can be other aspects of grief, like change, right? When having to transition or move into long-term care, there can be grief that can be felt from that, and what kind of coping skills can be put into place to help them and feel best supported through that.
Well, Lisa, sadly, time's drawing us to a close. It's been fascinating. And thank you so much for sharing your time with us here on the D Word.
Thank you so much, Pete. It was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you for the opportunity again to just be able to speak. And I hope you have a lovely afternoon there.
Thanks to Lisa for a fascinating conversation. That's all we have time for this edition. Thanks as always to my production assistant, Angela. Next week, our subject is going to be kinesiology with my guest, geriatric physiotherapist, Mercedes Fernandez. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.